us in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we're a wonderful and privileged people to have you as our Papa. And so, Lord, we just commit ourselves to you and to your word. We just ask that you would help us to rest. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, this morning, we're going to take another look at what Brother Branham says about the word being a seed. And in his sermon, God's Power to Transform, he says, now God in 6,000 years has planted all these wonderful seeds, or he hadn't spoke his word. It shall be this way. This tree shall be, and this shall be. Everything was perfect. It was just good. And he commanded each one of those seeds that they would be. They would just transform themselves into the plant of which kind of life that the Word of God has spoken in them should be. Now, that's really kind of a restful position to be in, because God has spoken about us, and we would be here in this hour, and He would transform us by His Word. And so He said, if it was an oak tree, it was to bring forth an oak. If it was a palm, it was to bring forth a palm, because the great Creator had just sent forth His word, and the word seed was there before the real seed ever was formed. And the word seed formed the seed. See, He made the world out of things that does not appear. In other words, God is not going to say, you get down to the end of the road and, well, I missed it because I didn't do this, or I forgot this, or because I'm, you know, just not up to the task. No, he's doing it all. And he already placed the seed, and you can't change the seed. So that's a really good thing. I'm not going to fall away at the end time. Now, some people were meant to fall away, and they've already done it. But, you know, it's just a good, restful position to be in, knowing that you are His, okay? And he says, see, He made the world by His word. God spoke everything into existence, including yourselves. Now, did you catch what he said just here? Every seed of every plant was first a word seed. So, you know, when God spoke, he said, let there be horse. Then God clothed horse. Let there be fig trees. Then he clothed fig trees with the elements. Let there be palm trees. Then he clothed the palm tree. And so, every seed of every plant was first a word seed. Then the natural seed took on all the attributes and characteristics that are to manifest exactly what the plant should manifest as. Wow, what a great God to think in that seed, in every seed, it is ordained to manifest exactly as planted. Now just think, as I mentioned before, your parents had to come together to give you right DNA. You had to come together with your husband to give the right DNA to your children. Your parents parents had to get together. See, that little teeny itsy bitsy DNA, do you know if you string out all the DNA in your body, you got something like you can go to the moon and back? It's just tremendous. One DNA strand unraveled becomes 6 feet. That's how big it is. That's how much, you know, just think about all the characteristics that your parents, you know, all the way back to the Garden of Eden, they had, each one had the other one in them, and so God was responsible for making it come manifested. That, I tell you, what an awesome God we serve. You know, I just love Him. You know, it just makes you love Him even more, because, you know, when He said, all things shall work to the good for those that love the Lord, He really knew what He's talking about. Okay, He has everything under control. So God left nothing up to circumstances. Every seed is ordained to manifest exactly as planned. What a mind. Okay? So God left nothing up to circumstance. He has it all under control. So all the evil in the world are doing exactly what they were ordained to do. So look up, your redemption draws nigh. And all the righteous seed will manifest exactly how they are ordained to manifest. In other words, you're not going to miss a thing. You know, you say, well, maybe did I miss it? No, you didn't. You didn't. Just hang on. Like Brother Bram, well, he missed the vision, and he just missed the vision, so God took the vision away. God don't take his word back. He said, you're going to get that bear, you're going to get that bear. Now, he might have to raise him up to do it. That's okay with me. You know, I'd love to see a resurrected man get his bear. All right? So, Romans 8:30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. So, you see, we already have it. We're just not aware. We're not in touch. From Jehovah Jireh, he says, no man can come to me except God draws him. All the Father has given me will come to me. What are you scared about? What are you afraid of? You say, well, maybe I'm just not the right kind of a Christian. How can you come to God without God calling you first? Who started it? Did you call God? No, I'm sorry. He called you. So what are you scared about? And all that he foreknew, he has called. Is that right? All that he has called, he has justified. Is that right? All that he has justified, he hath past tense glorified. Amen. It's a finished work from the foundation of the world. Christians, don't you see you're living under your privilege? You don't know who you are. On the cross, what was his last words? It is finished. What did that blood do? What did that blood do for you? It covered you and put you back to the condition God saw you in before the foundations of the world. You see, God laid Adam. He gave a son. He brought forth a son. He breathed into him the breath of life. He gave him everything. He equipped him with everything. He could speak to the world and change trees and mountains and everything else. But he hadn't given him the Holy Ghost. Now, I realize you say, well, God breathed into him. But he didn't get the Holy Ghost that we have because it wasn't given until after it was released from Jesus. So then he put him, God rested, and he put his son in free moral agency, and what did he do? He took advantage of the free moral agency, and he took advantage of falling away. Now, God don't give you a chance. He's put his own life in you. Think about it. God life in you. You're not going to fall away. You're not ordained to fall away. All right? You're not ordained to do what Adam did or Eve did. He hadn't given them himself. You see, if I have a daughter and I say, now, daughter, you can go out with this fella, but be back at 10 o'clock. And I'm kind of, you know, looking through the windows and see, make sure she does. See, God don't have to do that with you because he gave you. See, if I give my daughter my own spirit, my own mind, I know she's not going to do the things, you know, that could happen. And so God gave us his mind, the mind of Christ in you. Wow, just think about that now. The very mind of God he's put and placed inside of you so that you'll avoid those things. You know, that's why during the millennium, Satan's loose. But he's bound by a chain of circumstances, Brother Bram said. He can't get to you. You're all born again. Everybody's born again. There is no Hillary Clinton's in the world. She's in the lake of fire. You know, there isn't no people like that. They're gone. You know, they say that two of the mayors from Michigan and from Texas, the reason why they let people cross the border and everything else, and the reason why they're doing all that they're doing, they're part of the WEF. They're members of the WEF. Well, we should make it law that nobody can be a member of the WEF, but they won't do that. But where we're going, we don't have to worry about those kind of people because they will be in the lake of fire. They can get what they want now, have at it. But you can't take it with you. You can live 1,000 years and you can't take it with you. All right? From recognizing your day in his message, he said, look what he said in this day would take place. Listen to it real close. The sign of Sodom would take place in the day, sign like Abraham that day before Sodom that was called out. All these things that was prophesied will be taking place now. Watch, I think I got that spelled. Actually, whoever typed it, I think they got. Anyway, watch the day that you're living. We went over it and over it. All right? In other words, look, everything, listen to it real close. He said Sodom would come. It has. He said the earth would be burned. It's getting ready to. He said that the transvestites and everything else would be here. They are. All right? But he also said there's a bride who's being made ready by his word, and we are. All right? Now, he's promised to send you heavenly light to ripen the word seed that would be sown for this day. The seed is in here. The seed is in the Bible. Why? Jesus says so. The word is a seed that the sower sowed. And now before you can have any crop, no matter if you sow the seed, it's got to have a light to ripen that seed, or it'll rot and won't do any good. It'll perish. But if it's got seed in it, the right kind, a right ground with the right kind of sunlight on it, it's got to ripen. And he promised that in the last days, even the evening time, the sun would come out to ripen that seed. The seed is being preached. The Son of God is ripening that seed by vindicating it, making it push out before you, and proving that it's right. Do you get it? Recognize your day. I'm closing now. It's time now to close. Now notice, he said everything is taking place, was ordained to take place, and you are now seeing that the seed is becoming a reality. You think all of this chaos is taking place and God knew nothing about it? You think God will be too late to save you? Think again. Sister Nisha, you know, she was really worried the last time around because, you know, they had the COVID restrictions and all the doctors had to take the jab, wear the face mask. And she said, well, if we don't take it by Friday, I'll be fired. I said, good. I said, because you know that God always pushed you to the test. We're living in the age of testing. And so you're going to go down to the last wire and something's going to happen. And you know what? On Friday of that week, when she was supposed to be fired, that very day, think about it. You're going to lose your job and you won't have a job tomorrow. And you come up to Friday morning and then, guess what? The Prime Minister says, we've lifted the COVID restrictions. And you're spared. All right? God is on the scene. He won't let you fail. He won't let you get caught up with the rest of the world. He's watching over. He's protecting you. Okay? So, notice he said everything taking place was ordained to take place, and you are now seeing that seed become a reality. You think all this chaos is taking place and God knew nothing about it? You think God will be too late to save you again? He ordained it to be this way. He ordained the devil to bring on this chaos through the devil's seed, the serpent's seed, to do exactly what they are doing. Wow. He knew Donald Trump would be ordained as a fire to bring forth the fires of God's fury upon this nation. He had to expose it because, listen, none of us knew how deep the deep state really was. The swamp is terribly deep. You cannot fix it unless you just destroy them all. All right, and God's planning to destroy them all. So it took an in-your-face president to raise the ire and expose what was already planted in D.C. like it is. There's nothing happening that God has not ordained by placing all those attributes and characteristics which expose their nature of rebelliousness at this time. It's all for a purpose to show that God is God and you can't get away from His plan. Now, some have tried, but you know what? God stepped on the scene and said, you know what, you can try, you can live like a jerk, but I'm not going to let you do that no more. And what did he do? He stepped on the scene, he opened their eyes, and wow, changed his life. For the spoken words is original seed. All right, predestinated as he was, makes the word seed the same water on what this church today is a bride predestinate. Did God say that he would have a bride without spot or wrinkle? Then it's predestinate, isn't it? See, well, Christ was predestinate. He was a royal seed of Abraham. And what did he do? When the Spirit come on Christ, he bore record of the Word of God, and when the water fell, the Spirit falls on the Word seed, the royal seed of Abraham's faith in God's Word will produce the same kind of a crop. Say, I don't believe that. All right, let's find out. Let's go on and see if we are Abraham's seed. Genesis 17. Go back in Genesis in the 17th chapter. I'm leaving a lot of these here, off here, but I've got to hit some of them here, because some critics come along and say, I don't believe that. So we'll just place a little bit in there so he can stop them from saying it. See, all right, 17:7. Let's start at the 6th verse. And I will make thee exceedingly fruitful, Abraham's seed, and I will make nations, Gentiles and all, and kings shall come out of thee, and I will establish my covenant. Now watch. Between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, in their generation, notice a seed for a generation, a seed for a season, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. How did he not do as he said he would do? Is not God working in you both to will and to do? Did he not warn us of these end times, that they would be hard and hard to deal with and hard to bear? Then relax. God has everything under control. He doesn't need your help in manifesting what is to manifest. Did he ask your permission to manifest any of the 86 events, signs and events associated with this parousia? No, he said they're going to happen. Guess what? They happen. Did you know about it? Nope. We do now. You see? Or did he just tell us what that word seed would manifest, and we are to set back and watch for them? Then he does not need your help to judge what is taking place in his courtroom of the world. Behold, the judge stands at the door, and he is just building up enough evidence to judge them and punish them. Did he not tell us in James 5 and 9, grudge not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned? Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Did he not say that he would send his word to judge in the last days, as we see in John 12:47? And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words, as one that judgeth him, the word which I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last days. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. Now, from the rapture, Brother Bram says, then how do we get into the body? 1 Corinthians 12, by one Spirit we're all baptized into this body, by one Holy Spirit baptism. And if you want to put that down, it's 1 Corinthians 12:13. And by one Spirit we're all baptized. And the Spirit is the life of Christ. Is that right? And the life of Christ. And the life of any seed, which he was the word seed, will bring the seed to life. You get it? If that life is laying in the seed, and this baptism of the Holy Spirit comes upon it, it's bound to bring that seed to life. Isn't it amazing that maybe 300 million sperm will contact the egg and she'll only receive the one? Predestination. The right set of genes had to be there. The right DNA. You see, so we have this promise that in him, that is, if we believe in him, he will give us eternal life, his life, and he will raise us up at the last days. In John 5:24, verily I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on me that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that shall hear, that's a shout, shall live. All right? For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this hour, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. So we can all say the same thing. We're not seeking our own will, we're seeking His. And we also see in Romans 8:11, but if the Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Now in Jehovah Jireh part 1, he said, we've had a revival. Joel said, you see, we fussed so much about the latter rain. Had movements called latter rain and former rain, and inner rain, and outer rain. I was reading the other day, do you know what former rain means in the Hebrew word? I can't call it right now. I never wrote it down. It skipped my mind. But former rain, the first rain means a rain of teaching. The second rain is the Spirit that comes upon that what's been taught and produces the crop. You see, that's where we're under right now, is the manifestation rain. The rain that takes the crop, it brings it into reality. So, it, you know, who sends the rain? God does. You're not watering yourself. God's watering you. All right? And he's bringing it into reality. Why is it we had such a revival? Pentecostal, Baptist, all the other trees put forth their buds, as Jesus said they would. And what have we hatched out? The Baptists say they got a million more than 44. Look at the Catholics, how they increase. Look at all the denominations. Look at the Pentecost. What do we do? We sow denominational seeds, we reap the denominational harvest. Why, the church ought to be on fire for God right now. If there had been a word seed sowed back there, and there'd be signs, wonders, miracles, and that church would be together, one heart, one accord, and marching towards Zion in the rapture. That's right. What did we do? We had intellectual speeches instead of the word. We had the reasoning against the word and everything else. So, instead of the real word being preached, we've had all kinds of intellectual speeches, and it has produced exactly what he said it would produce. But notice, he told us they would produce this end time characteristic. In 2 Timothy, we see, but to understand this, that in the last days, dangerous times of great stress and trouble will come difficult days that will be hard to bear. You say dangerous? Well, look at all the assassinations taking place. It's all around politics. I mean, Hillary Clinton and Bill have something like a hit list of 38 people, and it's probably more than that because, you know, that was when they were still in office. What about now? You know, for people will be lovers of self, which are narcissistic, self-focused, lovers of money, impelled by greed, boastful and arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, and profane. And they will be unloving and devoid of natural human affection, calloused and inhumane. Look what they've done to the city of Maui. The people passed laws declaring no development could come into the region unless there was a natural disaster, and then 2 weeks later they have a natural disaster, which is a grass fire. Irreconcilable. Malicious gossip. The ex-president has been under attack by malicious gossip, which is lawfare. Devoid of, instead of saying, okay, you are the product of someone trying to blackmail you, no, we're going to charge you with a crime for paying the woman and call it interference, you know, using the funds, you know, for running for president. We're going to say that, well, you use those funds. They don't know that. This woman tried to blackmail him, so he's guilty. You see, the whole thing is just haywire, okay? Lawfare. devoid of self-control, intemperate, in an immoral, brute beast, serpent seed, haters of good, traitors, reckless, conceited, lovers of sensual pleasure rather than lovers of God. Pedophilia is running amok amongst our so-called elites in Hollywood and the DC and the DC swamp people, holding to a form of outward godliness, which is only religion, although they have denied his power, for their conduct nullifies their claim of faith. Avoid such people and keep far away from them, for among them are those at least 6 feet. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. Avoid such people, keep far away from them, for among them are those who worm their way into homes and captivate morally weak and spiritually dwarfed women, that's churches, weighed down by the burden of their sins, easily swayed by various impulses, learning and listening to anybody who will teach them, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So, and God's word seed said, it would be this way, and here it is. You are seeing the reality of the word seed. Now, you know, when I read those sayings, I never imagined it would be this bad. I couldn't imagine how could it be this bad. But it is. From the spoken word, his original seed, he said, then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord? Then said Jesus unto them, peace be unto you. Oh, are you ready? As my Father has sent me. See, he's the word, the seed, the word seed. So I send you. You believe it? Don't stop. There's more of it. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, to them they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. So from the spoken word then, Brother Branham says, all right, predestinated as he was, makes the word seed flesh in you, his church, God's word. You say, sure, Brother Branham, every word, I believe it. Then don't back up when you get your tradition, see? Stay right with the word and stay with that. Watch what happens. Say, oh, I believe it. Send the Holy Spirit, then watch. Then if he goes to bearing record, then you know you got it, not by some sensation. The devil can do that. Not by some miracles. The devil can do that. But by your constant belief in the Word of God and the life that you live, never denying nothing. All right? That makes the Word becoming flesh. See? Flesh and the same water and the same Spirit. Now, by staying in his word and believing what he said, then he makes it become a reality to you. He unfolds it to you. From wisdom versus faith, he said, then if Jesus defeated Satan upon faith, knowing who he was predestinated, who he was a predestinated creature, are you ready? What about the predestinated bride of Jesus Christ? In other words, for a millennium, Brother Bram said, the devil will be bound by circumstance. He can't get to you. Why? Because you have the Holy Ghost. What's that? You have the Word of God living in you. So, like I said to Ella, have you ever had God talk to you? And she said, well, I was going to take Daddy's jelly beans, and he said, thou shalt not steal. That's the Word of God in you, correcting the error of your nature. All right, but over there we're going to have a glorified body that will be word. So there, you know, Jesus was tempted just like we are, but he never succumbed to the word. He never succumbed to it because he said, "It is also written," and that's what we're learning how to do. All right, do you believe the bride's predestinated, the predestinated bride of Christ now, the church, the word seed, with everything that God promised to put in the last? Put in the church and is in it right now. It's in it right now. Everything's in order. The Holy Spirit has been given. The seed been sowed. An evening light has been shining. The sign of Sodom that promises here and Malachi 4 and predestinate church. Oh devil. So we're getting ready to close now. From the spoken word, he says. Now, my brethren, search out across the country. We find a lot of imitations. Let's go on just a little while longer. See, all right, the works is same manifested in his church that would be that was manifested in Christ. In other words, John 14. He said, St. John 14, heavens and earth will pass away, but my word is not. Is that right? All right. Predestined as he was, makes the word seed flesh. I better stop there right now. Maybe you wouldn't, but somebody out in the tape land might not understand. Okay, so everything is in order. The wickedness is in order, and so are the righteous bride. Now, from the way back, he said, I'm preaching one of these nights as a paradox, and that was a paradox you just seen. It's something that you can't explain. It's a miracle that how God of heaven can produce such. Now you say, could you heal me, Brother Bram? It's impossible. You're already healed. If he was standing here wearing my suit that he gave me, he couldn't do anymore. That's all he could do was vindicate that he's Christ, prove that he's here. You have to believe him. I can if you believe. That's it right now. If you believe it, that's all that there is to it. It took me like it ought. It looks to me like it ought to be to electrify. It ought to send people to repentance. It ought to send people seeking for the Holy Ghost. It ought to do something more than it's a doing. Is the word seed falling upon stony ground, ladies? What's the answer, brethren, church? What's the answer? What more can God do? He never promised anything else. You'll never see nothing no greater than the presence of Jesus Christ working in his church, performing the things that he promised to do. And he's here doing it. And he said, you can't receive anything greater than that. Oh my, you will never see no greater than what he is doing right now in his church. I was talking to a friend the other night, and I said, we should all write down everything that we have witnessed that God has done for us. And we, each of us, would have a book bigger than the Bible if we would just write down all the time that we have seen the arm of God interceding for us on a daily basis. He is real. He is a reality. And he has proven it to us time and time again. We have just got to open our eyes to what he is doing, and his word will become more of a reality to us. Oh, if I were to write in a book all the healings, all the times I've witnessed him change the weather, stop the storms, lower the temperature, and redirect storms, etc. It would just boggle the mind. But then at every time that God stepped on the scene to redirect my car to avoid an accident or prevent me from being sick. It would be like John said, if all the world were parchment and all the oceans were ink, there would not be enough words to describe what he has done in our lives. And finally, from Wisdom versus Faith, he said, now, but the word seed of the Bible can't grow in such ground as that. How could a person go into one of those modern churches now? The Spirit of God would come up upon them, and they want to holler, glory to God, hallelujah, you know what? Why do you make the preacher swallow his sermon? I will just leave you with what he said. How could you go into one of them churches anyhow where the Spirit of God is so void that it would be like going to a funeral home or a morgue? Don't you ever be caught doing that. I can't even stand to listen to them on the radio or on the internet or at the volleyball games. All right? They learn to shout because, you know what? The shout is what? The message or what Pentecostals do? It's what Pentecostals do when they teach them at a young age. If they are not quoting the prophet, they are not. They have nothing to say. Let's just bow our heads. And for our gracious Father, we thank you for this sermon. We know it's kind of simple today, but Lord, we're just taking your words from your prophet and kind of expounding on them. And so, Lord, we just pray that you would add to them and touch our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.